This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting with bated breath for this Dome / Tim Walz interview to drop on CNN. We're already getting little tidbits of it, and it's just as terrible as you can possibly imagine. In fact, there's an Ask Dr. Jesse question about it. Oh, great sage. Kamala's first interview has to be a threesome that includes Walz. I think it illustrates your point that she lacks confidence. What say you, Shogun? Well, have you ever in your life been put in a situation where you were 100% not qualified and you knew you weren't qualified and you lived in mortal fear of being discovered? This has happened to me. It's happened to me on more than one occasion. But here's an example. So I've told you before about the different kind of training cycles you go through when you're in the infantry. When you're in the Marine Corps infantry, they'll have you in the jungle. They'll have you in the desert. They'll have you do various things. And I've told you before about mountain warfare training. Well, here was the thing about mountain warfare training. There was a bunch to it, but one of the things I got taught, and we all got taught, I take that back, we all got taught, was tying knots. Tying knots. Ropes are a huge part of existing in the mountains, fighting in the mountains, hauling men, equipment up, hauling men, equipment down. You always need ropes, and you need various kinds of knots to be tied in those ropes. All right? With me? Knot tying. So I've got to be honest with you. I'm not a very talented person. I'm not very good. Shut up, Chris. Don't agree with me when I say stuff like that. Anyway, I don't have very many skills. And part of the reason I don't have very many skills is this. If I find something that holds my interest, I will be all in on it. I will obsess over it. I will read everything I can, watch everything I can, learn everything I can. And I will end up becoming what you probably consider an expert or someone who knows a lot about that thing. Even if it's something stupid, and it oftentimes is, if I have an interest in it, I'll obsess over it and become, you know, super knowledgeable about it. But that's the good side of that. There's a bad side of that. And this is one of those flaws about me. I really pray my sons don't get, you know, you don't want to be like me. If I don't have an interest in something, if something bores me, I check out. I check out mentally. I don't retain any of it. I'm not interested. I just kind of, and I know everyone has what I'm describing to some degree, but you should know I'm an extreme example on both ends. If I love it, I did this, believe it or not, I did this one time with pepperoni. I love pepperoni, and I wanted to know how it was made and where the best pepperoni was and the different kinds of pepperoni. I bet I spent 3 hours on pepperoni one time. I'm embarrassed to say it. I did it. Well, let's go back to mountain warfare training. Knot tying. I don't give a crap about knots. And I understand maybe you're a knot person. Maybe you're a knot person. Maybe you love knots in the different ways. And I know there are all kinds of different ways. And the dude who was teaching us, he was so excited about these knots. He just knew all about the knots and he wanted to tie this knot and that knot. I couldn't possibly have cared any less. So I paid attention. The bare minimum amount you have to pay attention if you want to get through this class, the bare minimum. I am mentally checked out the whole time. I'm just trying not to get screamed at and being forced to do push-ups. I'm doing the bare minimum. You with me? And because I'm mentally checked out, again, it's a flaw, something wrong with me. because I'm mentally checked out. I didn't retain anything. Nothing. 15 minutes after all these knot tying classes were done, I didn't remember a single thing. I didn't remember what anything was called. Now, right about this time, we had a couple new guys show up. And I forget who it was. I don't want to say my platoon sergeant because I don't want to misspeak, but we'll just call him platoon sergeant. But just understand that's a placeholder. It might not have been him. Someone in charge of me said, "Hey, Jesse, go make sure these new guys are boned up on the knot tying. Hey, go make sure these new guys know how to knot tie." "Oh, yeah, sure thing. I'll get right on that. I'll get right on that." And I did what? I procrastinated. I stalled. "Oh, yeah, I'll get right on that. Oh, gosh, you know, I almost forgot. I got to get my pack ready for tomorrow. Hey, guys, just I'll be with you in a moment. I'll get to it. And I ended up blowing off these new guys for a couple days. I think it was 2-3 days, if I remember right. And finally, the guy who told me to teach them knot tying said, "Kelly, did you ever get those guys schooled on knot tying? Because we were about to do rappelling that night." And I said, "Oh, gosh, no. You know what? I'll do it right now." And he said, "You know, forget about that. I'm actually happy you didn't. I'm just going to gather everyone up, and you can do it in front of everybody so we can make sure we're all on the same page so everyone can have a refresher for tonight." You have never been as nervous in your life as I was for that presentation. And I knew it was going to be bad, and I knew I was going to suffer with sweat and misery when they realized I didn't know anything. And I was so sure of this that I just preemptively went to him and said, "I got to be honest, I forgot everything, and I'm not the one that needs to teach anyone anything." And don't get me wrong, I was punished for that severely. But that moment, hey, just stand in front of the entire platoon and give them a refresher, I will never forget the feeling in my stomach in that exact moment. I felt like I was going to vomit right then and there. I can't do this. I don't know anything about this. I don't have the ability to do this. I'm screwed. That's what Kamala Harris goes through every single day of her life right now. Every day of her life. You might think to yourself that she's really living it up right now with the glitz and the glamour and the lights and the and it's all this air travel to fancy dinners, this Hollywood party, this. You may think in your mind right now, maybe you're struggling to pay the bills. Maybe things are rough. Maybe you're looking at a piece of trash like Dome and you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, I can't believe she's got it so good. I'm struggling and she's got it so good." I'm here to tell you right now, this woman is miserable. Miserable. She knows. It's not just that she doesn't know anything. It's not just that she doesn't have a personality. She knows she doesn't know anything. She knows she doesn't have a personality. We laugh about her laugh, about the endless nervous laughter. But this is obviously, it's very obvious. You don't have to be a psychologist to figure out. This is a defense mechanism from somebody who never learned how to speak about anything. That's a defense mechanism. And she gets chosen as the nominee. They hand select her, which she knows is dirty. She knows it looks bad. And then, as a campaign strategy, they have refused to do a single sit-down interview. That's unheard of. We're 68 days before the election, and she won't do a sit-down interview. Well, the media starts to get a little bit huffy about this. You're even having outlets like MSNBC, CNN, and others saying, hey, why are you not answering any questions? Why won't you sit down with us? And remember, this is all selfish. The media just wants ratings. They want to be the one who sits down with them. Hey, we have an exclusive with Dome. That's how they're handling that. But finally, she agrees. She gets beaten down to the point she agrees to do a sit down with CNN. And she's bringing Tim Walz along to help. That woman is miserable and petrified right now because she's just been told she has to teach the entire platoon how to tie knots, and she doesn't know anything about knots. Like I said, put a smile on your face. She's more miserable than you are, whatever you're going through at this point in time. Remember that. All right, let's get to some more emails. Hey, Jesse, which chalk product should I buy to get a testosterone boost? Are there any promo codes? What you're looking for, I want to clarify, a male vitality stack. Stack is spelled S as in Sam, Sierra Tango Alpha Quebec. S as in Sam, T as in Tom. I was using the phonetic alphabet. It's military, Chris. A is in alpha. I already used alpha, but whatever. That's what it is. And Q, surely you know what Q, but male vitality stack. There's a female vitality stack as well. Don't get that one, guys. For the male vitality stack, there's three different things in it. Don't worry. They'll handle all this for you. There's the chalk daily, ashwagandha, and Tongkat. Make sure, don't skip any of those, all right? That's what you get. For the promo code, you want to save money, you have to use the promo code Jesse, or if you call him, just tell him I sent you, and get a subscription. Get a subscription. You need to do that to save money. Cancel the subscription if it doesn't work. It does. Give it 90 days. You'll never cancel that subscription. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Or call them, text them, 50-CHOQ-3000. All right, we have to talk about ants and RVs next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, remember that time I told you I saw Billy Idol in an airport? I saw Billy Idol in an airport one time. We were just walking through. I forget where we were coming back from. And there were these two chicks, these two dimes, were going crazy at the gate. And I look over. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? I couldn't really see what they were going crazy over. It's because Billy Idol was at the gate. Chicks love rock stars. I will tell you, though, he is so small. I remember looking and thinking, where's the rest of him? What, Chris? No, it's not because I'm 6'8". I know what tall people are and what small people are. I'm telling you, he was really small. I was a little taken aback. Chris, look up how tall he is right now. I bet you he's a 5'5"er. I bet he is. Barely even a man. Jesse Stone Cold Man Kelly, I am in desperate need of your wisdom. I recall you telling everyone around a year ago that your house had become overrun by ants and you had difficulty getting rid of them. I have come under the same fate. What did you do to get rid of them? Am I doomed or is there hope? No, you're doomed. You're doomed. Because ants are resilient and they work together. And so here's my problem. The ants that were coming through when we were warned about this, because I was so overwhelmed, we finally called a bug guy and said, dude, can you please kill the ants? And he said, hey, look, I tried. I'm trying, but they're migratory. They're coming through your area right now and there's nothing you can do about it. I just want to pause on that for a quick moment. I don't understand how much you could possibly migrate when your legs are that small. Like, where are you going to? Where did you come from? Either way, he said they're migratory. Now, I fought them. I used powders. I used sprays. I had stuff hooked up to my hose. I was Mr. Dad Bod out there in the yard trying to fight off the ant hordes. I was never successful until they simply migrated away. I reduced some of them, but I should also say this. We have a dog, that idiot Fred, and So I can't just dump poison all over everything in the backyard, or that moron will go back there and start eating it all and then he'll die. And I can't have that. So that did hold me back from just carpet bombing the whole backyard. Otherwise, I'd have taken a flamethrower to the whole thing. That's how bad those things are. It's horrible. Jesse, back when you were an RV salesman, did you ever choose to fake talk a superior to make a deal? Chris, what's that mean? Fake talk. Oh, did I ever fake talk a superior to make a deal? No, but I'll tell you something else I've done. And this is something that works really well. And maybe this has been done on you or will be done to you in sales. And I have participated in this. You ready for this? Urgency is a thing. And when you're in sales, you want to create urgency if there is no urgency there. So what you don't want, what you absolutely, positively do not want, you don't want them to leave the lot without signing on the dotted line. You want to make the sale before they have a chance to go home, because what happens is you go home, you start shopping around, you spend time, glass of wine with your wife, your husband, you're talking yourself out of it. You don't want to give them a night to brew on it. You want them to get excited and sign it and buy it. But oftentimes, unless you're willing to lie, and I just couldn't do that because it felt too dirty for me, oftentimes it's difficult to create urgency without lying. So we would do this. If we had a used unit, used units in RVs, just like cars, a great used car, it's the most valuable commodity out there. It's going to go super fast. Exact same way with RVs. Someone trades in an RV that's used in good shape, it is the easiest sale in the world. The biggest moron on the lot can sell a good used RV. So everyone had a list of people they would call as soon as you got a good used one in. Hey, Bob, I got exactly the one you're looking for. Get down here. Get down here quickly. And that was always the truth. Get down here quickly because it's going to go. But if someone had an appointment on it and someone showed up, so your appointment showed up. Let's say I have an appointment and my customer shows up on a 30-foot travel trailer. Let's say Chris, God forbid, was a fellow salesman there working there. Oftentimes, I would have Chris prepped and ready. If I had to, I would text him and say, hey, come on out. We'd be in the RV. And what Chris would do, he would walk in and he would have his phone and he would just start snapping pictures of the RV, pictures of the inside. And I would do that. Chris, what are you doing, man? And he'd say, no, sorry, just sending these to a customer. It's exactly what they're looking for. And he'd turn and walk out the door. And then I would turn and I'd say, hey, I told you, it's going to go. There's nothing I can do about it. Look, they're already taking pictures. He's texting those pictures to somebody right now. I did that. And if that's ever happened to you, if you've ever been on a car lot and you're hemming and hawing and the salesman says, well, this is the last one. In fact, I have another appointment on this in 10 minutes. That's generally a lie. That's generally a lie. Not always, though. Not always. Sometimes it's the truth. And that's the problem. When you're really being honest about that kind of stuff, people have been so jaded, understandably, they think to themselves, well, wait a minute, that's a lie. And then it's gone. And then you tell them, I told you. That's kind of how that works. Relief factor is the truth, though. You see, the lie is that you have to live with pain. You do not have to live with pain. You do not have to sit and tough it out. And you don't have to take crap that's horrible for you to mask it all the time. You can instead choose to go after it in a tangible way with Relief Factor, a drug-free way. Relief Factor was created by doctors, but it's 100% drug-free. As I talk about all the time, that's how we need to get to. We've got to stop with this pill obsession in this society. Relief Factor will help support your body's natural response to pain. Get a 3-week supply. Whatever that daily pain is that plagues you, watch it disappear. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. All right? Someone wants to talk about Chile and aircraft carriers in the Middle East. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. One last word on the sales thing, because Chris asked me during the break. He said, how much time would you spend on someone who said, I don't want to waste your time, I just want to run some numbers? I've tried to encourage you before to not treat the sales process as if it's a competition. And here's why. I have RV customers of mine. I still will text back when they text me. Why? Because they were so cool and so respectful of me. If you ever say the words to me, especially right when we meet, I don't want to waste your time, that conveys such a level of respect. It shows me, you know, that my time is valuable. This is how I feed my family. You give me that kind of respect, I'll bend over backwards for you. I'll run some numbers. I'll give you a follow-up call or whatnot. But that salesmen love to hear that. Love to hear that. But that guy has great credit. I have never, ever in all my years selling RVs, which I sold RVs for 5-6 years, I think, something like that. I never once had a customer say to me, I don't want to waste your time, who had bad credit. It never happened. It never happened. The guy who has bad credit's the one who said, I want you to show me the most expensive thing on the lot. I can buy anything I want to. That guy's got a 500 credit score and can't afford a thing. Guarantee it. Jesse, what do you know about, I almost forgot. We do have a little snippet of Dome on CNN. This is real. You know how Dome, she sat down with Walls. They're starting to release wee little tidbits of it. This is the only one I'm going to play you because we want to wait until we get the whole thing. But why would you invite your VP to sit down with you on your first and possibly only interview? Well, this is how she talks.
That the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act. We have that.
Yeah. She can't talk. What does that mean? Well, we have to do the metrics of time and we doesn't mean anything. She doesn't know anything at all. Jesse, what do you know about Augusto Pinochet, dictator of Chile? I'm listening to a podcast, Real Dictators, currently doing a show about him. He sounds like an anti-communist. The end of his life was full of charges of human rights violations. Is he comparable to Spain's Franco? Let's hear a history lesson. You can say my name. I have actually done a long history lesson on Pinochet in Chile before, so I'm not going to do a long one now. Yes, he was an anti-communist. He was a general. the history books make him out to be a dictator. It's insane that he would be on any podcast called Real Dictators. But again, 99% of our history is written by communists. And so guys like Franco and Pinochet are lumped in with scumbags like Hitler and Stalin and things like that. Why? Because they stopped communism. Pinochet didn't want to rule Chile. Allende, the dirty commie, cheated in an election, stop me if you've heard this before, took over Chile and promptly began to nationalize industries. And essentially, Chile collapsed almost immediately. Their economy collapsed almost immediately. Pinochet had to grab some military dudes and he had to go take care of business. In the process, I think the number is, and you never know because they lie about all this, in the process, 4,000 or 5,000 communists died. Of course, history books will act like this is the greatest atrocity ever. They even have a name for it. It's called the Caravan of Death. You ever heard of that? The Caravan of Death. It makes it sound like it's like 500,000 people. 4,000 people. I'm not being dismissive of killing 4,000 people, but they fought. They won. And after he won, Chile went from being a collapsed country under the communists to being one of the wealthiest, most prosperous countries in South America for a very, very, very long time. Okay, I did want to get to this. I meant to get to it earlier. I've been talking for the past couple of days about vets who are struggling with suicidal thoughts because, you know, my Marine Corps buddy killed himself and you know, alcohol and drugs, and I got this one. Jesse, regarding your suicide call out on radio show yesterday, I am a Marine vet, not a real one, just a reservist pogue 20 years out. For one, you stop with that. That's as much of a Marine as I was. Stop with that. Okay, you did your time. Still a Marine, just like me. Oh, and the guy says, oh, and a hopeless alcoholic too. In college, we used to joke about how rehab is for quitters. Oh, if I'd only known back then how stupid that was. I have tried to go to an AA meeting, but I can't. I panic in the parking lot, and then I just drive on. How does one go on without alcohol? Do I become that loser that tells everyone to quit drinking around me? How do I go to a ball game, bowling, the rodeo? Everyone is always drinking. And you know what? Drinking seems to be the only thing that makes you an outcast by not doing it. How do I get help? Yeah, it's so easy, right? Just go to a meeting. What if I see a coworker there, a supervisor, a manager, a relative? So much for anonymous. This would be so much easier if I had a friend going through the same thing, and then we could use the buddy system, but normal people just can't relate to the struggle. Said, please do not use my name if you read this on the air. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Not the whole email. It was all wonderful and heartfelt, but normal people can't relate to the struggle. Brother, everybody struggles with something. No, maybe they don't struggle with alcohol. Everybody struggles with something. Everyone either has struggled or is struggling. And the fact that you sat down and penciled this whole thing out tells me you're going to win. You are going to win your battle with alcohol because you're struggling. If you're struggling, you're winning. You realize that. It's when you stop struggling, when you give up, that's when you lose. You drove into an AA meeting, you say, and you drove on. You couldn't go in. You panicked. What if I see a relative, someone? Okay, I get that. You won that day. Maybe you went home, got drunk. Sure, you probably did. You tried something, didn't work out. So try again. And you mentioned the buddy system. I bet you money. Somebody in your life, somebody in your friend circle also wants to quit drinking, and they also think they're alone. They think no one else does. They think there's no one else to talk to. Do you know who I'm talking about yet? I bet you already have an idea of who that might be. Have you tried to ask them yet? And as far as how do you go to a ball game, bowling, the rodeo, here's something you might want to try. Something I've personally done before, but hey, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want any more booze. I don't want anything like that. Here's something you might try. Try mineral water. with a lime in it. People will look and they'll think, oh, well, that guy's got a cocktail. And you can sit there and enjoy yourself until you get comfortable enough to tell them, I'm out. I'm done drinking. I don't feel good anymore. I feel bad. My mind doesn't work right. Just keep struggling. Just keep struggling. Find the friend you can relate to, and you don't have to walk into an AA meeting physically to get help. This is not 1965 anymore. You can have a buddy online. There are virtual things on the phone you can do. Reach out. You're already winning. You are going to win. I bet you money you will email me, whatever it is, a year from now, 5 years from now, a month from now, and say, Jesse, I'm clean. You are going to do it. You are. And you know, I'm a jerk. I would tell you if you wouldn't. You're going to win. You wrote that email, you're going to win. Trust me. All right? And trust me on this. Your dog's going to die too early. Not because of your drinking, but because you're not giving him rough greens, you see. Our dogs die too early in this country. It's sad because we love dogs. Probably more than any other country on the planet, we love dogs, except for maybe Korea. But our dogs die too early because they don't get nutrition. Because there's no nutrition in dog food. The sad thing is we think we're giving them nutrition. We give them the special blend. I bet you money you have a special blend for your dog you buy. But I bet you another one. I bet you it's brown, isn't it? Is it brown? Brown things are dead. It's brown because they kill everything in dog food at the factory. Rough greens is the all-natural nutritional supplement. It's a green powder. You'll be able to tell the second you open up that it's natural and alive. All the nutrition your dog needs. Pour it on your dog's food. Every meal. Fred gets it every meal. You will see such a difference in your dog. You'll be mad at all the times you didn't give it to him. Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. And I need to do a couple things here. I meant to get to them earlier, but I'm irresponsible. I want to get to this thing that's going on at the FBI with the recent admission, the FBI's interference in Michael Schellenberger. He's a journalist, a good journalist. He has a long rant on this, but before I get to Schellenberger, I wanted to play this portion of it. Mark Zuckerberg, you remember, the head of Facebook, he went on Joe Rogan and he explained what happened with the FBI, only he didn't go into enough detail.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. We thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from
Okay. That's what Zuckerberg said. Zuckerberg recently, though, had to pen that letter. I read for you the big portions of the letter on the show earlier this week. Michael Schellenberger, the journalist, dug into it. This is a little long. I may stop it and start it, but this is what he said.
Zuckerberg's letter went further than what he told Joe Rogan in 2022 because he specifically mentioned Burisma, the Ukrainian natural gas company that Hunter Biden worked for. Zuckerberg wrote, "The FBI warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family and Burisma in the lead up to the 2020 election. Nobody at the FBI has gone to prison or even been properly investigated for their crimes. And yet the evidence shows that the CIA and FBI broke the Wiretap Act and the Hatch Act of 1939, which prohibits the federal employees from using their official authority or influence to interfere with or affect the outcome of an election. First, the FBI violated the Wiretap Act when it misused information it had obtained from spying on Rudy Giuliani. The FBI knew that the New York Post story about the Hunter Biden laptop would be coming out because it was listening to Giuliani's telephone calls. The Wiretap Act, formerly known as Title III of the Omnibus Crime Control and Safe Streets Act of 1968, requires that information obtained through a wiretap can only be used for purposes directly related to the investigation for which the wiretap was authorized. Misusing or improperly disclosing this information can result in criminal penalties for the individuals involved, and the evidence obtained can be excluded from court proceedings. The FBI both misused and improperly disclosed the information. Second, the FBI spread disinformation, information it knew to be false, in order to interfere in the election. The FBI warned Facebook, Twitter, and others that forthcoming information about Burisma and Biden was Russian disinformation. The FBI knew that the Hunter Biden laptop wasn't Russian disinformation because it already had the laptop in its possession for 10 months and was spying on Giuliani.
How is this organization still in existence? How is nobody from the FBI in prison for these crimes? These are crimes perpetrated against the American people themselves and done by the federal law enforcement arm. Wild, wild. And where are the Republicans calling for arrests? Where are they? To date, not one has called for FBI agents to go to prison. Not one. We cannot survive this. We can't. Maybe, look, the low T GOP, at it again. The communists have taken over the state police agency. They're using it against their political opponents, and the GOP can't grab its ankles fast enough. Chalk male vitality stacks, GOP, for all of you. And female vitality stacks for the ladies. Maybe then we'll get at least one person calling for an arrest. At least defund the agency. If we can't get arrests, can we at least end this criminal organization before they do any more damage? Chalk.com. Chalk.com. Call them. GOP. Hey, I've got a hotline for you. You ready? 50-CHALK-3000. That's 50-CHOQ-3000. Check in on that, huh? Sounds good.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Jesse, my coworker just informed me that the Stars and Stripes is reporting that three carriers have been sent to the Middle East. Do you have any information on this you could share? Look... they send carrier groups to places oftentimes as a threat. It's a threat because when you move a carrier, you're not moving a carrier, one aircraft carrier. Aircraft carriers have an entourage that comes along with them. So you have the aircraft carrier, all the jets on the aircraft carrier. You've got cruisers and destroyers, and you've got a lot of firepower. So whenever you see a carrier, just know that they're talking about a carrier group, and when you park that much firepower off of somebody's coast, you're letting them know if you go too far, if you get too froggy, we will turn your civilization into a fine powder. Whenever there's a carrier group sent, it's often, almost always, it's a threat. Sometimes it's because a conflict is imminent, and that's not good, but almost always it's a threat, so don't read too much into it. Jesse, what happened to the Communist Party in the 50s and 60s? They got absorbed by the Democrat Party. Dear Historical Oracle, I have a nagging question I'm hoping maybe you can shed some light on with your cornucopia of contacts. With all the January 6th arrests, I've not heard or seen one single person convicted of actual violent acts, even though there were a lot of violent acts plastered all over by the media. As a retired law enforcement, this makes me wonder, are there any real convictions for these type of incidents? Curious minds want to know. His name is Dell. Almost none of those people committed any violent acts. And the ones who did, often depends on which witness you listen to, almost sounds like it was in self-defense. Like, what's that lady's name? Rosalind Baird, who was beaten to death by the cops in the tunnel. and they were trying to, you know, pull her away and pull him off of it. Well, immediately, that's assaulting an officer. That's a bad deal that day. Dear Oracle, with Ukraine attacking Russia within the borders of Russia with major drone attacks and missiles, what response do you think Russia has left? I don't know who you're rooting for in this conflict, and honestly, who you're rooting for doesn't really matter. Don't care if you're all in for Ukraine, you're all in for the Ruskies. If you are any kind of a thinking person at all, you will hope that this thing ends so Ukraine can get out of Russia's borders. If Ukraine continues to stay within Russia's borders, Russia is going to do something drastic and dramatic, and it may kick off the whole daggone thing. So with that sunny note, go enjoy your Labor Day weekend. I am going to be back here on Monday on Labor Day, so send me an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.